When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Let's talk to Mike and Del Ran. Remember, the name, so you can win Eagles Washington tickets coming up shortly here. Mike, now. Mike, good morning.
Yo, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Mike, I'm just thinking about this concept. I think Joe is onto something. Walter Payton was my favorite running back in 1985 because the Chicago Bears were prominently in everyone's, you know, middle of everyone's vision. Man, that is – Saquon feels like – that style,
that's right,
on a guy who's 35 pounds bigger.
Yeah, he's taller than Walter was.
When was the last time a running back won MVP? There's no way a running back's going to win MVP.
Now, let me think about this.
It's Adrian Peterson. I'm almost positive.
Yeah,
it was like 15, 16, 14 years ago, something like that.
No, I think it was about 2014. It was after
it was 11, wasn't it?
Well, it was after he came back from the knee injury. So when he had the 2,000 yards, I think that is the last time.
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to get a running back MVP.
They're just not going to. Again, the top 10 are more than top 10.
But, Mike, I'll say this.
If the
voting ended today, it would be a travesty if he's anywhere outside of the top 3 or 4.
In 10 years, I think you're going to be talking about the possibility of a running back, maybe.
It's why they created the Offensive Player of the Year award. The Offensive Player of the Year award goes to the best players, not a quarterback, and the MVP goes to a quarterback. Like, I agree, it's dumb. Yeah. I'm just telling you the way it works now.
No, I get it. And, Mike, you can make a great case right now for Mahomes. Of course, he's undefeated, but you can't come up with 3 or 4 names that have been better than Saquon so far. It's not possible.
I agree 100%. I'm looking forward to this game. Man, I think there's still doubters in this city. I think that, you know, you keep hearing, the competition, and you can't argue it, but I feel good about it. I feel real good about this game. And as far as Joel Embiid goes, I'm not booing him. I'm not standing ovation. I'm going to cheer normal. Look, I don't blame this guy. I know the city's hard on him. They think he's soft, but I don't think this is his doing by keeping him out like this. This guy doesn't owe us nothing. I don't think he does.
Well, here's where I think it's, Mike, here's where I think it's more complicated than you're alluding to. So I was pro Joel playing in the Olympics. However, I said prior to him playing, only if he's truly healthy to play. If he chose to play without being recovered from that knee issue last spring, that's on him. And if he did that, and that set back September, October, here we are now, November, that would be on him.
Well, that's on him if the Sixers told him no. Like, no. You shouldn't.
Yeah, but it's ultimately on him. If he knew his body wasn't right and he went ahead, that is selfish.
That's 100% what he was doing.
Right? Put it this way. We can't climb inside his knee and we can't climb inside his brain. But wouldn't you guess that when he played in those Olympics, he did not feel near 100%? Wouldn't you say that's a likelihood?
Probably a likelihood, but listen, I'd rather see him playing in May and June, so I don't care right now.
Yeah, but he should have been an adult if he didn't feel right and not played.
Maybe. What makes you feel old? What was the question?
Yeah, the question for the Flyers tickets is, what reminds you of the olden days?
Remember when you used to get a toy in your cereal box?
Yeah.
They
sure
still do that.
The toy in the cereal box.
That's still happening.
Ben, do they still do the gum in the baseball cards?
No, they do not. They stopped that a long time
ago. Was that the Dentist Association saying like it's a sugar issue? Because that's what I heard. I don't know if it's true.
I don't think so. I think the gum was terrible to begin with.
It really was awful.
Yeah, but if you got a Mike Schmidt card, you didn't care, man.
I would agree with
that. You're in good shape.
I mean, it was like 3 chews and it lost its flavor.
Yeah.
But I think it was more so the fact that it would just get old and miserable.
Well, yeah, but baseball cards were a thing. Yeah, heck, baseball cards could be an answer.
They're back in full style, baseball cards.
Are they?
Oh, my God, yes. My 10-year-old is all about baseball cards, and all his friends are.
Good.
They're back.
You're the only person I've heard say that.
Okay. Big time. All right.
All right, so we're giving away tickets to the Eagles versus Washington on Thursday. Every single week leading into an Eagles game, typically a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, culmination for a Sunday game. But obviously this week we'll give them away on Thursday. You got to know the name we're about to say now, then another name tomorrow, then another name Thursday. And these tickets, as we know, are given away every single home game, courtesy of one of our
great partner, NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy.
And the name is...
Well, it's one of our favorites. It's the Axeman, and the name we specifically want to hear you say is Jeremiah Trotter. And if you want to add the senior, you can add the senior. The Axeman! John, we may have an Eagles-Washington theme here. We may have an Eagles-Washington.
Is it senior that we're talking?
We're talking senior.
Okay.
We're talking the Axeman. And what is Trot Jr.? What did he want to be called? The
Axeman Jr.?
Axeman Jr.
Was it Axe Jr., maybe?
No, I think it was, James, what was it? Axeman Jr.?
Axeman Jr.
And what were the other things we were considering? The Little Axeman. And
Trot Jr.
Trot Jr.
Yeah.
And he said, call me Axeman Jr. All right. So we're talking Jeremiah Trotter Sr., though.
I want to see more Trot in games.
Dude, how do you beat out two guys in front of you? There's no way.
I know.
He got in there in the fourth quarter the other day.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. I mean, you're not playing in front of...
I know. The stars have sort of emerged.
All right, let me ask
and
you a question.
They are emerging like stars.
James, Zach Bond's agent calls up Howie Roseman today. Says, all right, hold on. Let me go into my Jalen Hunks. What's his name? Hunt. All right, let me get this right.
Hunk.
I got it all messed up.
Who?
Let's say, that was all messed up.
We have a hunk?
Hunk. We got a hunk. It's Jalex Hunk.
Hunky.
All right, let's say Zach Bond's agent calls up Howie Roseman and says.
What's up, Big Pimpin?
All right.
Yeah,
and says,
course.
Big
Pimpin.
There's
a lot of setup for that.
It was. Big Pimpin.
Hunky.
4 years, $26 million for my guy, Zach Bond. Howie, we'll sign today if you put your name on it today. James, what would Howie Roseman do? Because for everyone listening, if you don't know, Zach Bond has half a year left on his deal. This is just a one-year deal. A lot of people thought he was passing through the night. Here today, gone tomorrow, gone forever. But the guy can play. James, if the agent says, we'll sign 4 years, $26 million, what does Howie Roseman do?
Howie negotiates.
He doesn't say yes.
Of course not. You think Howie's going to be like 4 years for sure?
Should he say yes?
I don't think so. 4 years? 4 years for a linebacker?
I'm asking a question.
Well, look, 4 years, it could be 2 years matter and stuff. It's all about the guaranteed money and stuff. So, I don't know. It depends on what the guaranteed money is. I mean, that's the way it works these days.
Well, let's say it's the T.J. Edwards deal. What was that, 3-18?
I personally would give him the T.J. Edwards deal, personally. I don't know what Howie
is. This is going to be fascinating, John. I mean, T.J. Edwards is the only linebacker they've had since Jordan Hicks, who got injured all the time, that was even worth considering re-signing.
And
what do they do here?
You sign these linebackers. Well, not you don't have to worry about N'Kobe.
No, but N'Kobe's next year.
Yeah, you sign Zach Bond.
I think they're going to let him walk, John.
I don't know why in the world you would.
Because it's what they do. Ben, isn't it what they
do? This is a guy who has been underappreciated his whole life. I think you can give him a deal that makes him happy and makes the team relatively
responsible. But, John, you're trying to thread the needle. Sure, we'd all love Zach Bond to agree to a three-year deal for $9 million. Sure, great.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
Well, no, it's not going to look like that.
It is funny, though. This is a team that has historically, they haven't really projected linebackers. They haven't really... It's an afterthought.
Totally an afterthought.
But to see that their play this year, you think it gives them some second thoughts, some pause?
It should.
It should, right?
Here's the irony. They approach defense because we have a new defensive coordinator who utilizes those guys differently. Our defense, never. With our linebackers previously inside, can you imagine running those guys back and forth like jockeying in the A-gaps with, I don't know,
Alex Singleton
jockeying in the A-gap, trying to get inside people's heads. Like, N'Kobe Dean actually gets a little bit of explosiveness and shake and gets in there and blows people up in the backfield.
Yeah, sure.
Same with Zach Bond. They're just great fits for this scheme. We had not had that previously. Now that I'm assuming Vic Fangio is going to be the scheme meister for several years... Yeah, lock the guys in that are the right guys for the scheme.
All right, 215-592-9494. A lot of conversation today, headed into the Eagles-Washington game on, do you think the Eagles are a legit Super Bowl contender? Yesterday in our poll, 65% said yes. I think they are. Not that I think they're truly great, but, I mean, I think the league's down. I certainly wouldn't be with the 35% that say no. Where would you come down on that? Why or why not? And how to greet Joel tonight? He'll be introduced. By the way, Spike Gaskin thinks we're crazy to even have Boo as a poll result. I am certain there's some Sixers fans are going to boo him. No question in my mind. Would you boo him? Would you cheer him? Would you stand and owe him? Like, what would you do? This Joel thing's been very complicated. What would you do if you were attending tonight's game? Let's go to the phones. Talk to Ike in Southwest Philadelphia. Ike, good morning.
What's up, y'all?
Hi, Ike. What's happening, Ike?
Hey, man. So here's my thing. I start with Embiid. First of all, I'm cheering, but not like standing ovation. I'm cheering like I cheer everybody.
Okay, so a regular, he's being introduced regular.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. But I remember right before the season started, you know, they come back in town in September and they usually all get together and run. They were showing videos of him. He was in the scrimmages. And they said, and this was Sean said, he was practicing when they was in the Bahamas. And he had some light swelling, and that's why they held him out. So it wasn't like he wasn't ready. And if what they all say, and you can see, he done dropped weight. I don't know if it's 25, 30 pounds like they saying. So it ain't like he ain't been doing nothing. He had to have been doing something on his legs to drop that weight, because you can't use – it's hard to lose 30 pounds.
Here's what I'll say. Like,
you can't run.
Okay, you bring up some good points if they're all true.
That's the point.
Here's the
NBA did an investigation to believe them.
Here's the problem, though, that Joel has to own being a part of. The messaging – for whatever the hell happened, and I still don't know what happened, the messaging was a disaster because he either suffered a new injury or never recovered from the old injury.
That's true, and that's fair.
And he was part of the misdirection. He could have cleared it up. He could have.
That's fair.
And that's why I think the pregame introduction reaction is a fascinating moment. Because, look, after he gets out there and plays and obviously gives the Sixers a better shot to win and will help them win more games, that's time to get on board and cheer and be grateful that we have this incredible player when he plays. But this moment before he plays is the town's one chance to express pleasure or displeasure with him for all sorts of stuff over the last 5 months.
Man, listen, I'm going to just be honest with you. I ain't going to agree with you on that. I disagree. I'm not.
What part do you disagree on?
No, I'm just saying, like, I understand that that's what people might want to do. I disagree with booing in that state. Because, like I said, if he's going out there, and like you said, I know people took it in a bad way, but what he said wasn't wrong. When he said that, he always come back and try to play through everything.
I
would feel some kind of way too.
Sure.
And I kind of think it was taken. It's funny how sometimes when you direct it at somebody, the fans take it like they're talking about him. He was directing it directly at Marcus Hayes.
Well, that and one point he was. Yes, that point
that's,
for
and
sure.
And that's what I'm saying. But it's funny how when you come at somebody, the fans always take it like they taking a shot directly at you. But he was specifically talking about this guy.
Yeah,
I
know.
And I don't understand that all the time. Like, he ain't talking to me. Like, so I don't understand why people get personal, like they get personal when somebody come at a couple fans or
I get you. But I will say this, like, there are more than just one person that's really frustrated with Joel. Look, I would not boo, let me be clear, I would not boo him tonight, but I certainly wouldn't give him a standing O, and there is a chance I might just sit there and just watch that moment and not cheer or boo. I wouldn't boo.
But he
deserves to feel some rebuke, in my opinion. He really does.
And Joe, let me ask you a question. Real question.
Yeah, sure.
Do you think he's not frustrated, too?
I think he's very frustrated, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and I'm
for
not
sure.
talking about with fans. I'm talking
sure.
about that he ain't on the court.
No question.
The dude don't never not want to play. So that's the type of thing I'll be there. So let me go to, first of all, I agree with y'all with Saquon. He definitely should be in the top three.
Yep.
And here's my throw. Here's the thing that you don't see no more.
Yep.
Telephone booth.
Oh, yeah, the phone booth, yeah. Like, fantastic phone call, man. The phone booth is certainly from yesteryear.
Huge.
No question. All right, speaking of answers, coming up, an answer Doug Peterson. Yeah, baby. Listen, James, he's feeling heat down there.
Yeah, it's not a great, let's put it this way, not a great Doug answer.
It makes
me
sad.
I'll just throw that out there.
You're
gonna, it's not awesome.
You're going to play some audio.
I haven't heard this.
Yeah, it's not great.
He's feeling it. He's not psyched down there. We're getting to Doug. We're getting to a song created by one of our listeners about our show. Sirianni, what he said in the locker room after the game to the guys. And Elliot Shore Parks joins us on the Eagles. Everything going on here today, your phone calls. Well, good morning to you on this Tuesday morning. Getting ready for the Birds and Washington. Can we still call them the Skins, James? What's the ruling on that?
I mean, honestly, I've heard Redskins on this station like 70 times
but
already
try
this
to
week.
Avoid.
We do a good job on this show. I'm just saying, like, it seems like people can do whatever they want.
Rhea, what's the ruling on Skins?
I just avoid saying it.
I don't say it either. I never say it anymore.
I don't need any trouble.
Ever.
I get in enough trouble on my own.
I get that. Hey, coming up, we got a lot this hour, including Sirianni in the locker room, what he said to the guys after the game, a song from one of the listeners about our show, which we appreciate. Now, we'll judge how good it is, but we appreciate it. Also, a note to you, no Sirianni today. So we typically have Sirianni.
He's had enough of John, yeah, Richie. That's what this is about.
He's done with Richie. No, they obviously have a different week because Sunday game into Thursday game, so their schedule is totally.
They will walk through at 4 p.m.
today,
which is kind of late in the day.
Tomorrow's the day before the game. Yeah. So no Sirianni today, but he will join our program tomorrow. Don't know the exact time yet. When we know it, we'll let you know. So just know that, and obviously we all get it. I mean, they got a short week. All right, now before we get back to the phones, it was referenced in the commercial break there in one of those commentaries, this ridiculous Jerry Jones audio from after the game. Ben, I got to play this for you and get your reaction. We saw that the sunlight was an issue at a certain point in the game, and Jerry Jones had an answer so preposterous post game, it merits listening to it again and just frankly laughing at this guy. Here's Jerry Jones after the game.
By the way, we know where the sun's going to be when we decide to flip the coin or not. So we do know where the damn sun's going to be in our own stadium.
Why not put the curtains up?
Why not mitigate that?
What?
The sun and seating.
Well, let's just tear the damn stadium down, Bill. No, you're kidding me.
But it's not, you don't have
Everybody's
to go that way.
Everybody's got the same thing. Every team that comes in here has the same issues. They know where the sun's going to be. So our team has the same thing.
So is it more on Mike not understanding where the sun is and not following
his
vision?
I'm saying the world knows where the sun is. You get to know that almost a year in advance. So someone asked me about the sun, and I said, about the sun, where's the moon? But, we're fine, but everybody plays in the sun out here.
What a bozo.
I wonder if he sits around and has conversations with Micah, and now that he's drifting into a less, like, with it realm.
Is he?
I don't know.
Senility? Is that the word you're looking for?
No, I'm just speculating. Once again, I'm speculating. If he is drifting, you know, as older people do, into a world where you're not always mindful of the things that you say, you're not minding all your P's and Q's. He's probably talking to Micah Parsons, and Micah can, you know, parrot some of the things he says about Mike McCarthy.
Well,
that's not far-fetched.
McCarthy will be gone.
In any way.
I mean, Ben, the idea of when met with criticism, well, let's just tear the stadium down. Let's build a new one. Instead of putting up curtains.
It's such an easy fix, and they already have them.
You don't even have to put them
they
up.
They already have
the curtains. Just draw the curtains.
Right.
They're there already.
Oh, my God.
And the person asked, well, why not just mitigate the problem?
Good use of mitigate, by the way.
Yes.
That was a really
you
good.
You could clearly use them. They're there for this purpose.
Right.
Joe, the crazy thing is, it's not the first time it's happened. And I didn't even realize it, just looking up all kinds of information on it. It hampered them in their playoff loss in 2021 to the 49ers. It was an issue.
It's insane.
It was an issue for both teams.
Sure.
But, you know, when you have an issue that's cost you a playoff game, I mean, that's insanity.
I think it's nuts.
It is insanity.
It really is. It's flat dumb.
Is.
It's dumb.
Flat out dumb.
All right, let's go to the phones. We got a lot this segment. Let's get to Ken and Cinnamon. Ken, good morning.
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
Doing great, Ken.
You know, hearing Jerry Jones ask, where's the moon? I think the follow-up question there from the reporter should have been, I don't know, Jerry, where's Uranus?
Oh, man. That would have been fighting words.
Well, yeah.
It's a planet, Joe. you know.
Well, I'm well aware.
Well, we don't know your history with the planets is not great. Well, Apollo wants to say hi.
Settle down, settle down.
Forgot my audience. Listen, first of all, on Embiid, if I'm spending 10 cents on an NBA regular season basketball game, I need to have my head examined. So I'm not booing Joel Embiid because I'm watching, you know, Green Acres before I'm watching a regular season.
Green Acres. They still show Green Acres?
It's on like one of those.
Green Acres is the place to be.
Good stuff. Listen, I kind of had a chuckle listening to Mike from Del Ran earlier talk about the doubters. You know, this is a guy who called this show when the Eagles were 2-2 after they lost to Tampa Bay and said, I quote, they suck, I'm done. So, you know, it's which a lot of people did, you know, but some of us who haven't been doubters from day one kind of get a chuckle at how the ups and downs of being a fan of this football team goes. You know, when you win three consecutive road games in the NFL by more than 20 points, it almost doesn't matter who your competition is. You're a really good football team, and
I think you can. I think that's safe to say, Ken. I think that's a good way to look at it. But those teams were really bad.
So I don't think it's
epically bad.
Yeah, I don't think it's safe to say, but I get the argument, and it's a likelihood you're a good team. But those teams are horrendous.
I haven't played a team with a winning record, I think, since week two against the Falcons.
A current winning record.
Current.
I got you. Yeah.
Look at every week in the NFL, and look at the way games end. Like, you know, you don't see big lines from one week to the next. Everybody thinks the Ravens are you know, a Super Bowl contender. You say that without even thinking about it, and they again barely squeak by the Bengals. And you can't use those things as measuring sticks. Is the point? Like, you know. It's a week-to-week league, so all you
Ken, I will tell you this. Not only do I think Dallas and the Giants stink, I think they've quit.
Oh, well, the
and that's part of how you get a 20-point. Like, I think Dallas quit the other day. I do. I think they quit. I can't tell you who. I can't tell you how many, but I feel pretty confident some guys out there quit. And that's part of how you get a 20-point win.
I said to my wife, as the game was wrapping up, I was like, this team was already fractured. I can't wait to hear what's coming out of this locker room after this game, meaning Cowboys.
And we did.
Yeah, we did. Hey, Ken, give me an answer. What makes you think of the olden days?
Well, we're getting ready to hear these all pretty soon, but when I hear the old classic Christmas carols, you know, Bing Crosby and Nat King Cole, that really makes me
think. That's a good answer right there. I like that answer. All right. Now, that's a better answer, unfortunately, than Doug. I never, ever like to know that Doug's struggling. You know, he's always going to be in our heart. And listen to this answer he gave, you know, because Jacksonville's in a world of trouble. He's obviously going to get fired. The fact that it's gone this long means he'll probably make it through the season. But, you know, he's going to be one of those guys on, what do they call it, Black Monday? Is that what it's called?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He's going to be so axed that. He might be axed on the Sunday night of that
like
final
a la
game.
Chip Kelly?
No, Chip was on a...
Chip was week 16 when there were 17
correct.
Weeks. Yeah.
Yeah, Chip was before the last game. So here's Doug. You'll just know that he's really getting tired of the heat. And here's Doug.
What was supposed to happen on the final Mac interception if he didn't get hit and throw the pick?
Yeah, I'm not going to go through the details of the play because you guys wouldn't figure it out. But we'll look at the tape tomorrow and we'll make those corrections.
Oh, my God, dude.
Ben, that's a frustrated coach.
Very frustrated.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, poor guy.
Dude.
Just right under the bus.
And by the way.
You morons wouldn't get it, so I'm not going to say it.
And let me say what I think we all know to be true. If the Jacksonville media and fans are getting to you. If Jacksonville's fans and media are getting to you,
it's bad.
Right? I mean, because they got nothing down there.
It's bad. How did the league end up being like this with the such bad teams?
That's a great question. I don't know.
Some of these teams are just flat out awful.
It's a really good. I don't know. It feels like there are less quality teams than I've ever seen.
Just bad players.
You know, I saw something. We could look it up. I'll look it up in a moment. But I noticed about 4 days ago, this is a really weird NBA quirk. 4 days ago, there were two teams in the Eastern Conference that were above 500. And there was one team that was 500. So as much as the Sixers have a bad record, they're not buried from, and of course it's so early, it wouldn't be buried playoff-wise anyway, but like they were whatever they were that day, 1-5, and they were like a game out of the playoffs.
Right.
So both the NBA and the NFL have had a weird, you know, start so far with trying to figure out how good squads are. All right, let's talk to Elliot Short Parks. Elliot is going to join us coming up in 1 minute. Elliot, in 1 minute, on the Eagles, on what's going on all the issues. Elliot joins us in 1 minute's time.
Don't wait till your doctor delivers bad news. Call NJ Diet today, and you will lose a contractually guaranteed 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days. And without any shots, in just 40 short days, you will look and feel dramatically better. Plus, you'll be healthier too. More importantly, you should finally be able to get some good news about your blood work. Not only that, but losing weight is linked to helping boost low T, guys. NJ Diet's program starts with personalized supplements based on your hair, saliva, and blood work. Then NJ Diet uses DNA testing to help you keep it off. It's all natural. No surgery, no hormones, no gross prepackaged foods, and no shots or nasty side effects. Locations are close by in Newark, Delaware, Princeton, King of Prussia, and Cherry Hill, or available from home with live online video consultations. Call today 855-5NJ-DIET, 855-5NJ-DIET, or go to njdiet.com to set up your consultation. That's njdiet.com. Lose weight quickly and safely without any shots with njdiet.com.
All right, reminder, no Nick Sirianni today on the program. He'll join us tomorrow. He usually joins us right around this time on Tuesdays, but he'll be on tomorrow. Elliot Short Parks right now is brought to us by Colonial Hyundai. Shop online 24/7 at colonialhyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the fast, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. Good morning, Elliot.
Hey, thanks for having me on. How you guys doing?
Of course, buddy. So, Elliot, a lot of ways to go here. Let's start with something I just referenced, and that's Sirianni's name. I never thought he was as bad as a lot of people thought when he was at his worst, but he's better than I thought at various points of the past. And you've been on the Sirianni's a pretty darn good coach train for a long time. You know, a lot of people either don't see it or don't admit it. What do you make of Sirianni now in year four and the rebound for him and this team within this season?
Yeah, I mean, this is the second time he saved a season from collapsing. Obviously, last season he couldn't do it, but he's a great coach. I mean, the record speaks for itself. I'm down there. I talk to the players. The players love him. The people in the building love working for him. And I think sometimes we view this as Sirianni as being a product of either Howie or the roster, and he's kind of along for the ride. What I'd say to people who don't think Nick is a great head coach, remember what this team was like when they hired Nick, right? Like, no one wanted to work with Howie. They didn't have a quarterback. They had just won four games. They weren't supposed to make the playoffs that year. So I think that overall, since Nick has got here, he has obviously proven he has built a winning team there with the Eagles. But I think this season as well proved he turned it around. Like, when they were 2-2, I didn't think they would win five straight games. Like, I didn't think they had it in them. And so for them to come out to change how they're doing the offense, which Nick has a part of, for them to rebound from a really tough start to take the punt they did and keep it going, I think it's a testament to what Nick has built over the past 4 years or 3.5 years as a head coach there.
Elliot, how do you evaluate five wins when you consider four of them are against four of the truly worst teams in football and the Bengals, the best of the bunch, is only 4-6? How do you balance out what it means as far as how good the Eagles actually are?
For me, it really doesn't matter who the opponent is. I think if you win five straight games, it just speaks to how you're playing. I think, you know, it reminds me a little bit of the Jalen ankle thing from last week, where we can talk about, is he this hurt? Like, is it going to bother him? Is it, like, use your eyes. We all saw Jalen wasn't really dealing with anything that serious with his ankle. Use your eyes when you watch this team. They're just playing at a high level. Like, I know the opponents are not great, but they're demolishing these opponents. And I think what really should give people confidence in this team, frankly, is not really the offense right now. It's the way the defense is playing. The offense is good. They have talent. They'll make plays. The defense is playing like a Super Bowl winning unit right now. And I know they're playing bad offenses, but they are, again, like, completely demolishing those offenses. So the defense, they're all in sync together. They're playing well. And they just have a level of confidence about them I frankly haven't seen in a defense maybe in my whole time covering the team. Like, 2022 was very good, but I don't know if they had this level of confidence that this unit does.
Elliot, who leads the defense? It's sort of a, you know, an unexpected turn.
Good
that
question.
The cornerbacks and the linebackers are, I don't know, the big guns now, and the D line they've sort of been quiet, but you know, the young guys, it's hard to lead as a young guy. It's hard to lead if you're not a big star. Yeah, who's the vocal? Who's the leader?
Yeah, I think the leader of the defense is Darius Slay. Just being in the locker room, talking to the guys about who on the side of the ball they listen to, who they work with the most. I mean, I know Darius Slay, you know, can rub people in this city the wrong way sometimes. But there is no question in my mind that Cooper DeJean and Quinyon Mitchell are playing as good as they are because they have Darius Slay as a teammate.
Wow.
I see them after practice almost every day for the days we're allowed out there for the full practice, and even pre-practice when we're out there. Darius Slay is working with them. We are working on their footwork, like one-on-one, not with
Darius
the
Slay staying Darius out on the field alone with those two?
Yes, and their lockers are right next to each other. Like, you know, if you want to ask who the leader is, right? I think, like, Darius Slay is the leader on that side of the ball. But the other nice thing I think about the defense is they have a few guys that are leaders. Like, it's Darius Slay for me, number one. Mm-hmm. But N'Kobe's a leader on that side of the ball. I think Jalen Carter is becoming more of a leader. He talked after the Dallas game about how he wanted to set a tone early on in that game for the defense. And you saw how well he played in that game. So I think vocally and as, like, a veteran, Darius Slay is the leader on that side of the ball. But they definitely have young players who have stepped up and shown more leadership this year.
That's awesome. And Jalix Hunt, is he a guy who might actually have a role? Is that crazy to even suppose? I mean, he looked like he made some plays in the last game, and I know it was garbage time. But it doesn't feel like at times, you know, the guy that we spent a lot of money to come off the edge and Bryce Huff is giving us everything that we'd hoped. Does that mean Jalix Hunt is another guy who will get more reps this week possibly?
So I think you have to grade both of those players on a scale. Like Jalix Hunt, the fact that in his rookie year this early in the season, cause I thought he would be almost like a redshirt rookie, like not play this year. Mm-hmm. So the fact that he got 25 snaps against the Cowboys, I think that is an awesome sign for him and his development. I don't think he played that great. Like he had great hustle out there and it was a positive he was out there, but he didn't really win many of his pass rush snaps. I think there was one snap where he kind of got to the quarterback, but outside of that, he wasn't really an impact player. Then you look at Bryce Huff and he only played 12 snaps, but he goes out there, he gets a sack, he gets a strip sack. And while Bryce Huff, again, you have to qualify everything with this. He's not who the Eagles thought he would be. He's not that three down stand up edge rusher. That's just not what he is. But since the bye week, he is playing way better when he is out there. This past week, he played almost exclusively third downs or obvious passing downs. He's getting his hands in the ground and he's playing way better. The first four games of the season, he had three combined hits, hurries, and sacks. Since the bye week, I believe he's over 10. So he is producing more. I think they're putting him in better situations, and that's why he's been better.
The injury report is always strange during a week when you're walking through exclusively, but the Jordan Mailata, it sounds very promising that he was a full walker through yesterday. Does that mean that he's back for this week, Elliot?
Well, so yesterday was an estimate of a walkthrough of a practice. So it was a true just guess as to what happened.
Boy.
But Jordan Mailata was on the players' lounge with us last night, and just talking to him, I think there's a real chance he plays. I don't think it's 100%. He does have to test things out. He talked about how at walkthroughs, like basically the jump back at the snap that he does will give him a good chance to test that hamstring. So even though they won't have a full practice, he'll get a good sense of whether or not he's ready to go. But I don't know if you have to play him. Like Jordan Mailata is obviously a better player than Fred Johnson. But Fred Johnson over these past 3 weeks has played pretty well against some pretty good edge rushers. Washington does not have great edge rushers. Their issues that they present the Eagles are in the middle of the line. Their edge rushers, I don't think, are that great. So if I'm the Eagles, I know it's a bit of a risk, but man, if you can go without Mailata this week and get the win, you then get that basically 10 extra days of rest for that hamstring. So he could play, but if Fred Johnson plays, I still think this team's in pretty good shape.
Is the Jonathan Allen thing like a complete non-possibility that he would be available for this game, Elliot? Because we know that Daron Payne is such a handful. Jonathan Allen, he's on I think he's on IR right now, but I don't know if he's available to come back Thursday or not.
Yeah, so I, to be honest, I don't know his injury status as of right now. I think, like, again, with yesterday being the first day since the game, I think you'll get a better sense of that today. But what I would say about Washington overall is, like, doing my research on them, they really don't have a good defense. Like, as good as they are, and their offense has been awesome, they have arguably the best offense in the NFL, their defense is horrendous. They are 27th in the league in points per drive. They're really bad on third down. They're not great against the run. Like, they are a team that is winning, I think, despite their defense. The Eagles have a considerably better defense than Washington does. So this does set up nicely for a game for the Eagles. Their defense can still play at a high level. Like, this could be a statement win for the team.
Elliot Shore Parks here right now, as he is every Tuesday, a little earlier typically on a Tuesday. So, Elliot, I was struck by some of your social media stuff yesterday on Jalen's performance in the game. I was very struck by what Jaws said it was earlier in the program. About Jalen's performance. Look, I thought Jalen was spectacular in the third quarter, but not really great at all in for the bulk of the first half. What did you make as it netted out of how Jalen played?
So I thought Jalen definitely had some really good moments. I think, you know, overall, I felt he took a bit of a step back from what he's been the previous few weeks. Coming out of the bye week, that Browns game, the Bengals game, the Giants game, he was so good at taking care of the ball. Like, he was not putting the ball in harm's way whatsoever. I thought Jacksonville, he was lucky not to have a turnover in that game. Obviously, he had the two turnovers against Dallas. Now, I will say, like, they weren't concerning plays within themselves. Like, I thought Micah Parsons made a great play. The interception, I came away after rewatching it a few times a little more critical of Jalen than live. Like, I don't think that's a throw you can make. And if you're going to make it, like, you have to put more on it. But I just think overall he didn't really play to the level he did against Cincinnati or New York. I thought it was a bit of a step back for him.
All right, and final thing here. Let's get to the important thing, Elliot. Yeah. Is Josh, because you're a reporter. You're not just an analyst. You're a reporter.
Correct.
Is Josh Harris going to attend this Eagles-Washington game at the Link?
I would assume so. I mean, I think he'll probably be in town for the Sixers game tonight. And then, you know, you just helicopter wherever he is back and forth. I would think he's going to be there. And yeah, I mean, I would think so. Clearly he'll be rooting Washington. I know that will rub people the wrong way, but yeah, my guess is he'll be there.
Man,
this
Elliot, guy, man.
There are a few more. It just disgusts me. I can't even think about that. The other issues that we have health-wise, I know the approximation walkthrough stuff, but N'Kobe Dean is on the did not walkthrough list. Is he good? And Goddard, is he good? Slay, he's on the list with an ankle. And then Devontae also. So Devontae, Darius, Dallas, N'Kobe, is this anything to worry about?
So I think they will all play. Just talking to almost all four of them in the locker room after the game, I didn't get the sense they were going to miss this game. But again, like today, tomorrow, like you'll get a better indication of that. We'll see how much they can do. But I think this team is going to go into the game like really healthy. Again, the Mailata thing is up there. But outside of that, you know, this team is rolling. I don't get a sense that they're going to be held back by injury. And I truly feel they are very ready for this game. Like, I expect a really good performance from them on Thursday night.
All right, Elliot. Good work, pal. We'll talk to you later in the week. Thanks, Elliot.
I'm good. Talk to you later.
All right, Elliot. Thanks, sure. Parks. All right, let's get from go from Elliot to Sirianni. So we have the audio of Sirianni in the locker room post game on Sunday. So they get that big win against Dallas. And here's Nick addressing the team. It's about 45 seconds. Nick Sirianni post-game in the locker room.
We talked yesterday about the detail, right? We talked yesterday about the physicality. We talked yesterday about the talent that we have. And we said we want to do special shit. And to do special shit, we got to do it together. There was a moment in this game, right? All right, we came out 14-6 at half. All right, defense gets a stop. Special teams gets a big return, offense punches in. That's complimentary football, right? Continue to find ways that we grow closer together. Because about that's how you do special, right? And we're all into special. A good teammate is selfless. A good teammate, all right, knows it takes everybody. A good teammate, right, is there for each other in the good times and the bad, especially the bad, right? A good teammate trusts everybody, right? Because they built that trust up. And a good teammate doesn't blame. They take accountability, right? Keep coming closer together as a team. I feel it. I know y'all feel it. It's a great win, all right? But we're going to have to move on quick.
That's Sirianni, Sunday. So it's not the most rousing speech, but I will say this. There's a lot of good principles in there. And, John, he is very consistent with his messaging, man. He doesn't deviate much. It's he's got the stuff he believes in.
Well,
and
that's pretty
and
consistent.
He sticks
that
right on it.
Consistent message is a hallmark of every coach that I ever played for as well. I mean, going back all the way to middle school.
I guess, but John, what we, the public here, I don't ever remember a coach, like Andy won't say anything. Like, I don't know what Andy's approach was with you guys because we didn't hear him talk about it. Sirianni talks about it, and obviously audio is now released in a way that 20 and 40 years ago it wasn't.
I guess he discusses
he's just right,
the consistency.
He is right on these. Ben, did you ever have a manager in baseball that was so, I mean, baseball and football are very different,
yeah.
But how, as an athlete, what do you make of the way Sirianni, he's got this framework and he just stays on it?
He sticks to it, and I just think it seems to me the players respond to it. You know, it's different in baseball because you can't do that after 100 every game. There's 162 games. You can't do it every game. But I think what he has these guys all going in the same direction. These guys are all – you see it – you see the way that the defense is responding. You know, we talk about in baseball how hitting is contagious. This defense, they're feeding off each other.
Yeah.
And I think the offense is
hitting is contagious.
Correct.
Hitting – like, it really is.
Correct.
When you see other guys lighten it up, you hear other guys, the clang of the pads, you can feel that thump. I mean, you played football, too. You did play football, right?
I played 1 year.
What grade were you?
I thought you were talking about hitting in baseball.
I was in fourth grade.
Fourth grade?
Fourth grade.
I can't believe you didn't play past fourth grade.
Aston Bandits.
I went further.
I know.
I went further than Ben Davis in football.
No, you didn't.
If
you only played 1 year and it was a truncated season because...
Well, I got knocked out halfway through the year.
I thought it was in the first game.
No, in the first game I got
benched. In the first game.
Right. I got benched at halftime of the first game.
So then you didn't play, so that really is
you got knocked out. You got knocked out, I think
you quit. No, what I quit in, I quit sophomore year of high school at the prep. So it was tryouts for basketball, which clearly I was good enough to make, except I wasn't in shape.
Clearly.
I wasn't in shape.
Obviously.
So you weren't. If
that
you
was
didn't
the reason
make
you
it.
Weren't in shape.
We were running this might be the first time I reveal this.
This is great.
Right.
Oh, God.
We're running gassers, all right?
This is at a tryout?
This is tryout prep high school basketball
That's
sophomore
a tough
year.
Tryout.
All right, here we go. We haven't even gotten to the basketball playing thing.
Oh.
We're just running.
Conditioning test before the tryout?
There's about... I don't know, 40 kids maybe, thereabout. There's me and this other guy, and let's just say this guy, not an in-shape human, okay?
What do you mean?
Not an in-shape human.
Know?
I'm aware.
He's got...
Okay, now
he's
that guy... And
large.
That
he's
guy...
Beyond
and,
his...
I think we all get it. We all get it, yes.
Ways.
That guy and me, consistently... The last two, every single time, we were way behind everyone else. And when we had a brief water break, I'm not making this up.
I don't respect you as an athlete at all.
When we had a brief water break, I went and got water, walked out, never came back.
What?
I just left.
Here you go.
Done.
You're gone.
Done. I mean, that was it.
You should be ashamed.
Response to
and the sad thing is,
what a response to adversity there.
And I had great skill. I mean, I clearly could have played.
Oh, yes. Oh,
okay.
But I wasn't in shape.
You know that running and being in shape
you
is part of
skill.
Playing basketball.
Yeah, but
right?
I blame my, what's that thing called? The asthma thing. I blame the asthma.
I would blame
Do you have asthma?
Yeah. Yeah, I got asthma. Yeah. I blame the asthma. Guys, if
that
not,
didn't sound very sincere.
If not for the
this
asthma.
This is the first time I've ever heard of the asthma. This feels like
flies. Could have been a contender. Could have. But asthma derailed my...
You didn't get in shape for basketball tryouts?
No.
Well, what do you mean you didn't?
I mean, I had cross-country camp. Like, we had it in August, and I never stopped running all summer.
It's the first time I realized being in shape matters. It never mattered in grade school. You wake up, you roll out of bed, you run all day.
Well, yeah, you're 10.
Yeah, well, then at some point I wasn't. No, I'm ashamed by that story, but...
John, I can't. I can't even look across the table right now.
Meanwhile, Seltzer's pulling it for drop of the week. I'm not proud. All right, Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. It's not a good
By
moment.
By the way, when you look at a map with those glasses on, can you see people waving?
Only if I, I was going to say take them off. No, the answer
They're
is
awful.
No.
They really are bad.
I mean.
Do I look like a dork? Am I a dork?
Joe, do you think you need new glasses?
Well, soon.
When was the last time? I don't know. After 10 years, glasses. I just got a new pair.
The problem is I'm still trying to go through contacts. I bought contacts in bulk.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get through them before I get to a new prescription.
No, the problem... Well,
what?
I got like six more pairs to go through. And then
so why on earth do you have glasses that not only they don't work, you have to take them off?
I'm trying to save money, man.
He has to take his glasses off to read. And when you put them on, you hate them. And they look...
I know. I don't know what
they
to tell
old.
You.
They look old.
They are.
They're going to snowboard.
The frames are old. But I get the lens change from time to time. All right, let's talk about Joel Embiid.
Wow.
Twitter poll question of the day is brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin is offering huge savings.
Poor Joe.
I agree.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
We're coming down hard on these glasses, and it's not your fault that you...
I agree.
It is his fault because he hasn't made an appointment.
It was my fault that I wasn't in shape for basketball practice.
That is very much your fault. So I think that's bleeding over into the glasses thing.
John, do I get to criticize the coach for not keeping me? I mean, I know I had the skills.
No, you don't. This whole thing, clearly, I was better than everyone else. You were worse than everyone else.
No, but
that's why you walked out.
That's only once being in shape started to matter. That's all.
What grade is this again?
10th grade.
Has it ever mattered since?
Yeah, but I don't play anymore.
So that's it. That was the last opportunity.
I was an outstanding
that's
basketball player.
That's what ended it all.
Gosh. I was, Ben.
Well, if I'm you were outstanding, you you would have tried to play.
Ben, as has been established before on the show, I am an early peaker.
Yeah.
All right. For me, it was around second, maybe third
you
grade.
Keep driving. Absolutely, I was an early peaker. Point home.
Twitter
early peaking.